Hello, this is Greg, and you are listening to the GregBurt.com podcast. Thanks for coming to listen. It's April 17th. It's about 9:45 in the p.m. as I record this thing. And I have a few things lined up that I'd like to talk about, starting off with the Boston Marathon. Now, I've never been a distance runner. I've never been any good at it. And, well, I don't really have that much athletic talent in other sports either. But the Boston Marathon is a tradition for those of us who live in the Boston area. And last year and this year, I did some volunteer work at the start line. I did what they call start line security, which really isn't much in the way of security. It's just keeping runners in their place and making sure they go to the right spots. And the real main job is to make sure that people don't try to jump ahead and that people who aren't registered don't try to jump in when they're not allowed to. So it's really more of just being like a traffic cop for runners. But the main thing I was concerned about yesterday was the weather. Now, I've been camping all my life, so I knew how to dress to stay warm and dry because it was going to be cold and rainy and windy. But the thing I was a little worried about was when I woke up at about 6 o'clock in the morning and looked outside. Well, first of all, I heard the wind, but then I looked and the trees were getting blown around and there were a few branches down on my street. And my truck got blown around a little bit on the highway on the way up there, but I was able to make it up there, no problem. Unfortunately, there were no trees knocked down on the roads I had to go on. And actually, by the time I had to get outside and start doing my volunteer work at the start line there, the wind had died down enough it wasn't a big deal. It was just some downpours here and there, and it was, well, it was in the mid to upper 40s, maybe around 50, but certainly not as cold as the weather forecasters had predicted, so it was a lot more comfortable than I thought it was going to be, which was a big plus. And I had on two short-sleeve t-shirts, a long-sleeve t-shirt, a fleece jacket, a raincoat, and then the marathon coat over the top of that, so I was pretty warm and dry for the most part, so that wasn't a problem. And there's really nothing exciting about the marathon start, except that it really is cool to see the small town in New England fill up with 30,000 people that are running this race. And there were something like 25,000 people registered to run. I know that 24,000. I know that 2,400 did not pick up their numbers, so they didn't run. And it looks like people towards the end, not as many showed up as the first 10,000 runners. I would say probably all of the first 10,000 runners showed up, and maybe three-quarters of the second 15,000. And then there's always the people who aren't registered that are allowed to run, but they have to get behind the very last people who are registered. Now, whether you're registered or not, I still think it's insane to run that race. It's something I probably wouldn't do. I kind of have a respect for people who do that because it's a huge accomplishment to be able to run for, my God, even if you're an elite runner, you're running for over 2 hours straight. And a majority of the people are running for 3, 4, 5, and even 6 hours. So it certainly is a great accomplishment, but the abuse you put on your body, just not worth it to me. Although I do have to say, the people that run for charity get a little extra respect from my point of view because they're not just running for themselves. They're trying to raise money for whatever charity they support. And, well, even so, I think they're still insane for trying to run 26.2 miles all at once. Because you have to remember that the marathon is based on a messenger who ran 26.2 miles to deliver a message and then died after he did that. So I guess it's a good accomplishment for everybody who went out there and didn't die yesterday. But congratulations to everyone who completed their goal, whether it was raising money or running a certain time. I know I completed my goal of standing at the start line and then helping clean up trash so I could earn my free marathon jacket and pin. And now continuing with sports, let's do a little football talk. The NFL draft is coming up on the last weekend of April. And as a Patriots fan, there's not really a lot that I'm excited about for the draft because the Patriots are a pretty good team anyway, and they did a hell of a lot in the offseason to get some free agents in that really helped the team. And from what I've read and heard and seen, it looks like the Patriots are one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl again this year. Of course, the most exciting thing for me about this upcoming football season is that my new apartment is only about 5-minute drive away from Gillette Stadium, which is really good for me because that means I can go to their preseason practices many, many times this year and get some great pictures because the preseason practices, most of them anyway, are just open to the public. And since I am not from a major publication, I can't get a press pass to any of the actual games, so I have to deal with preseason practices. Which is fine, because early on in the preseason, most of the players are pretty loose anyway, and it makes for a kind of a good time to watch, and you get some pretty decent pictures out of the deal if you're going there to take pictures. And the best part about it is that it's free. Which works out for me well, because I'm kind of a cheap bastard, so anything for free is good. And this is free, so it's good. And what may be the most interesting thing about the Patriots offseason is that Tom Brady has impregnated not one, but two very famous and attractive women. First of all, Bridget Moynihan, who he broke up with just shortly before she found out she was pregnant. And then, actually shortly after that story came out in the news, it turns out that he was in the process of impregnating the supermodel Giselle of Victoria's Secret fame. So it's been a pretty busy off-season for Tom Brady. And it's interesting to me because Tom Brady is about a month and a half older than I am. And he's out there impregnating these famous women, and I haven't even gotten laid in the past few months. So I obviously need to work on stepping it up a few notches just to try to get closer to that level, don't you think? Let's move on, shall we? What I want to talk about now is some new rock and roll music. Now, as you may have noticed over the past few years, there's not a lot of rock and roll music in the Billboard 200. And all that really means is that it's not really that popular right now. There's a lot of Britney Spears, and, well, maybe not Britney Spears. She's kind of become a creepy bald chick now. So I put her in the same category as Sinead O'Connor. But anyway, artists like Christina Aguilera are very popular. Rob Thomas, he used to be a rock and roll guy. I don't know what happened to him, but he seems to be pretty popular now. But there's really not a lot of rock bands. But coming soon, well, from what I've heard coming soon, new Guns N' Roses. Of course, I originally heard that the new Guns N' Roses album called Chinese Democracy was going to be released in 1999, back when I was still in college, but there have been more persistent rumors over the past couple months, and it actually seems like it might happen, because Guns N' Roses, even though it's not really Guns N' Roses anymore, it's more like the Axl Rose Project, but they've been performing, and it seems like they have new songs recorded. At the very least, for the past few years, they've been playing some of these songs in concerts. So it looks like you might have some new Guns N' Roses around the corner. Of course, like I said, it's not really Guns N' Roses. It's more like the Axl Rose Project. But Axl is such a genius musically that I think it'll be pretty good. And of course, if you want to listen to current Guns N' Roses, just listen to Velvet Revolver, because that's basically Guns N' Roses with a different singer. Of course, Scott Weiland is the singer of Velvet Revolver. But anyway, the point of this little tangent is that I want to tell you about the new Guns N' Roses songs that I've heard. And I heard it a few years ago as a live recording, and I just found a version of it on YouTube that is apparently a demo, so it's kind of a studio-recorded version. Of course, it didn't sound like it was a final version. But anyway, this Guns N' Roses song is called Madagascar. And it's really cool. It's kind of a slow number, but it's got some good stuff in it. There's another song I've heard called The Blues, which is a really cool song. It's got some piano stuff in it and a pretty cool guitar solo. So if you find any of that stuff, or if you haven't found any of it yet, go and check it out. But when you do find it, just try to keep an open mind about it, and don't try to compare it to old Guns N' Roses, because that's not what it's going to be. Because you have to remember that real Guns N' Roses happened 20 years ago, and in a course of 20 years, everybody changes. Their musical tastes change, their way of writing music changes, and Axl Rose, although he was pretty insane then, is now completely insane. And I kind of put him in the same level as, like, Keith Richards. Not really living on this planet, but he does come around every once in a while and deliver some pretty good music, so the new Guns N' Roses will probably be worth giving a listen to whenever it does come out. Of course, given their history, it could be this summer, it could be next year, it could be 5 years from now. So whenever it does come out and we hear a final version of everything, that's the point where we can really start to find out what Axl Rose has been up to for the past 16 years. And now, keeping on with the music vibe, I gotta tell ya, I'm really getting into the old records I have. It was a few years ago that I started getting some Christmas singles from the Pearl Jam fan club, and they send out their Christmas singles as vinyl records. And, well, there really aren't any other records than vinyl. But anyway, I didn't have a record player at the time, but my father let me dig out his old record player that he had in college, and I ended up getting my parents' record collection too, which actually is a lot cooler than the Pearl Jam singles I've gotten, because in this day and age, yeah, I get the stuff on record from, you know, whatever new band it is, but you can also get it on CDs, you can get it digitally, and the quality is much better if you get it digitally or if you get it on CDs. But it's really cool to listen to these old records because you get a little bit of the scratch in there, and it's just got that used kind of old feeling to it. And it's really cool to listen to records that were being played before I was born. And I'm not kidding. My parents' record collection probably spans from maybe the late 60s, but more along the lines of like 1970 to 1975. And I wasn't born until 1977. So my parents were playing these records before I was even a thought in their mind. And that's pretty cool to me, to be listening to stuff that old. And not just that old, but to hold that thing in my hands that was physically being played however many years ago. So I would suggest, if you get the opportunity, pick up some old records at a yard sale or a used record shop, or better yet, find a flea market or something, because if you go to a used record shop, they actually know how much they're worth. But if you go to a flea market or a yard sale, you might be able to pick them up for a dollar or two. And if you're into music like I am, you'll get what I'm talking about here. And now I will end this podcast with a farce. Not my own farce, but a DVD I watched today called Farce of the Penguins. It's a mock, well, they called it a mockumentary, which I find kind of dumb. But despite my displeasure with that word, it was a really cool movie, and it was written by Bob Saget. And what they did was they took stock footage of penguins in Antarctica, and Samuel L. Jackson is the narrator. Bob Saget plays a penguin, and some other famous people play penguins. Well, they don't really play them, but they do little voiceovers, and they kind of claim it's, you know, they're getting into the thoughts of these penguins. And it's really cool because it's kind of raunchy, and they really, they're talking about going to knock up some bitches and stuff like that. So if you've seen March of the Penguins, and if you have a sense of humor, go and check out Farce of the Penguins, because it's kind of funny, and it's, well, it's not an Oscar-winning movie, but if you're looking for something to laugh at on a weekend, it's definitely a good choice. Thank you for listening to my longest podcast so far, I think. But anyway, thank you for listening. And of course, as always, go to my website, gregbert.com, check out the pictures, check out the old podcasts, and leave me a message, or a sexual proposition, or hate mail, whatever you gotta do. Regardless, go check out my website, and I will talk to all of you next time around. See you later.